Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of the Fit Pro Show. And I've got an awesome group of guests with me today, starting off with Mr. Tom Mitchinson. Tom, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yourself?
I am very well, thanks. I have that Friday feeling, which is good. If you want to take a bit of time, Tom, to let our listeners know who you are, where you're from, and who you serve in your business.
So I'm from Maidstone in Kent. And I serve pretty much any working professional adult looking to help them lose weight, get fitter, and also help from a well-being point of view as well. So I do focus quite a lot on the mindset, focus on their habits, and get them thinking about their relationship with food as well.
Awesome. What's your first question, Tom?
First question is, so lockdown has been very challenging. It's where I've found my most found it hardest to grow my business. And just curious as to what challenges you've also found with your business during lockdown and how you've overcome them.
Great question. I think one of the fortunate things that I had is that I already had an online business, and I had been doing online business for many years. So I was very much used to working with clients remotely, but also seeing the value in remote coaching. And I think one of the biggest issues where a lot of trainers struggled, were you seeing a lot of people one-to-one at first, before the pandemic?
Primarily, yeah.
So one of the biggest things that I've noticed is that if you're just doing a one-to-one service and that is your job, that you're only delivering one way of coaching. So when you go to change the way of coaching, which in your eyes doesn't feel as high of value, you don't value it yourself. And I think that was one of the biggest struggles that I've seen in other trainers, was not having the confidence to charge as much for their service online and actually not seeing the value in the service that they offer. One of my biggest struggles when all this pandemic kicked off was not working too much. And I think I was running the risk of burning myself out by trying to go live every single day, trying to help as many people as possible. And I think really stay busy, because we were in a lockdown. There was lots of confusion and uncertainty. We didn't know what the hell was going on. And I do in those situations what I normally do, and it's find the thing that I enjoy doing or keeps me distracted and just burn myself into the ground with doing it. So I think one of the issues that I had when all this lockdown first started was going to work 7 days a week, because there was no such thing as a working day anymore, and actually getting up really, really early and not finishing till really, really late. And that's something that I realized that was a negative pattern back in 2016, which caused me burnout, that realized it was slowly creeping back up, and I had to change that. I think that was one of the kind of biggest things that I think a lot of people gravitate to keep themselves distracted. Sometimes that's with good things such as work, but you know, too much of a good thing is bad for you. And I think some people just turn to like booze, which I probably did quite a bit, to be honest, food and just the easy things to distract your mind and to keep you entertained. How about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it is the transition to online, trying to, you know, marketing is not something I've ever had to do before. You know, I started off through kind of word of mouth and helping people that I was close to try and grow my name and my profile. But then trying to kind of upscale and just creating content as well. I just find that quite hard and challenging to grasp, and being part of your challenge at the moment. What you're setting us every day has really helped me grow and think outside the box, ultimately. Not comparing myself to other trainers and what they're doing, and just trying to be myself and put my own touch on my content, I think is something that I'm learning, but that to me has been the hardest thing for me, and I still struggle with it to some degree.
Yeah, and what you got to understand is if I gave you a golf club and said, hit that 400 yards, it's going to you're not going to smash it out of the park straight away. You're going to have to take a few swings and get better at doing it to be able to eventually do that. And it's exactly the same with online. You know, you say, oh, I'm not used to marketing. It's like, well, you wouldn't be a personal trainer if you weren't good at marketing. Because marketing is essentially selling yourself. And that's what it is. It's displaying your products and services in a way that appeals to people and they purchase them. I had a podcast yesterday with a guy called Jay Summit, and literally, as he was talking, I wrote this down, and he said, entrepreneurs don't sell things, they solve things. And you just change that word entrepreneurs to personal trainers. Personal trainers shouldn't be selling things, they should be solving things. And the thing that you are selling solves a problem. So focus less on selling it and finding out who needs your product and how it can help them. And as soon as you get into that mindset of doing that, the game completely changes, because you're jumping on Zoom calls with people to see how you can best help, in the knowledge that people need to put some skin in the game so they pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your second question, Tom?
And then the flip side of that. So obviously Boris has announced a roadmap to get us back out on the other side. So what do you see as more opportunity within the fitness industry with the reduction of lockdown?
I think, and I told this to one of my groups, to steal something that I'll say to people all the time is just steal my shit. Simple as that. You know, I'm not precious about my stuff. If it gives you an idea and you run with it, great. If Boris is doing a roadmap out of the pandemic, personal trainers need to do a roadmap back in the gym. And one thing that we understand as fitness professionals is that people have been quite sedentary. People who probably was into a routine lifting regime probably have very tight everything at the moment, which needs loosening off. Yeah. Their tendons and ligaments aren't as strong as they used to be. And a lot of people, when they do get back in the gym in a couple of weeks, they're going to snap their shit up.
Yeah,
they're going to have rotator cuff injuries. They're going to have knee injuries, because they're literally just going to go back into the gym and try and lift what they used to lift. So a great thing to do as a personal trainer is know that people are going to do that and think, how can I solve that problem? So the roadmap out of this, and a great way to market this, would be, we're going to get you ready to get back into that gym so you can maximize your gains during it. So at this moment in time, we can't lift heavy weight, but we can mobilize, we can stretch, we can do all of the things that are going to prepare us ready to get back into the gym. And that's very, very valuable, because you are giving people something to aim for and to look forward to. And that once again transitions into a program for not only going into the gym, but when they do go in the gym, they're going to be working with you after that. So that's what I would do.
Yeah. Sounds good. Yeah.
Cool. Lovely. Tom, thank you ever so much for coming on the Fit Pro Show today.
No worries. Thank you. Pleasure.
Okay. And next up, we have Mr. Ben Turner. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I am very good, thank you, mate. If you just want to take a bit of time to let people know who you are, where you're from, and most importantly, who you serve in your business.
Yeah, great. So I'm Ben Turner. I'm a qualified nutritionist and personal trainer. Predominantly work in the nutrition realm at the moment. Fun fact, because of your challenge, the personal training side, thanks to, is it day before yesterday's challenge, has taken a significant step higher. But yeah, there's some interesting news to come out of that next week. But good prompt from your challenge. So nice one, Jay.
Fantastic.
But who do I serve? Mainly, I like to work with amateur and professional athletes when it comes to performance nutrition. That is a really, really interesting realm of nutrition. But the majority of my work is actually just helping busy professional people who are either working at home or working even longer now, just get healthier, fitter, happy. You know, much like Tom, habit-based approach, looking at people's habits, healthier relationship to food, making people actually enjoy themselves again, rather than having to see food or fitness as a chore.
Awesome. What's your first question?
First question is actually a question that I asked you at the end of one of your challenges. And I think it would be great to have a little bit more information on that. And I was asking you about, you know, educating people on social media. Infographics for me do terribly, pretty pictures do fantastically. And you said that people need to get infotainment. They need to be, you know, you want to educate them because you think they need educating, but they don't want to be educated. They just want to escape on social media. So how do you actually bridge that gap in a business that's based on education?
It's understanding that I love it when we talk about paying attention. How do we get people to pay attention? They need to pay. And how do you get people to be educated? They've got to want to be educated. And I don't know many people that, I don't go onto Instagram going, oh, I want to learn something today. That's not what people, and most certainly that's what not what your clients are going onto Instagram for. They're going to escape. They're going to find something to amuse them for a period of time. And it's understanding that we're all educators, but what we want to do is influence people. And that's what we influence through our education. You know, you can have the greatest mind in the world, but if someone doesn't want to listen to him or her, they're not going to listen. And they're not going to get the wisdom and education from that person to get healthier, happier, fitter, and stronger. So a lot of the people that we listen to boil down to likability, the value that we get from them, and a multitude of things. But most of the time, people like other fitness professionals, or people like fitness professionals who they think that they could go down the pub for a pint with. Yeah. And you know, obviously take that context with anything that, you know, but I think that's the most important thing. The more relatable that you can be to your audience, the more likable you're going to be, but also the more that they're going to listen. And it's knowing the right content for the right platform. I mean, I educate people through a multitude of things, but if you want to get into the nitty gritty details, I know that most of that is wasted on social media. I need to get people paying attention. I need to get people on a, you know, on a membership or a course or something like that, to actually sit down with a pen and paper, laptop open, ready to learn, which just isn't Instagram and Facebook. And that's why I said infotainment is taking that education and thinking, how could I teach this to a six-year-old? And I'm very fortunate to have a seven-year-old at home. So if I'm thinking of a new concept, I have the ultimate tester there by trying to see if I can explain it to her and she understands it. And yeah, if she does, then that's great. You know, I was talking, it was funny, I was just trying to do a video on muscle regain and talking about myonuclei, which has been formed within the muscle. And I basically explained it to Eliza as, when you lift weights, you get these beans, and the longer that you lift, the more of these beans are in your body. And when you stop lifting, the beans deflate, but the beans are still there. So when you lift again, the beans get bigger. And it's, that is explaining a very complex thing about muscle regain to a seven-year-old that could literally say, right, Eliza, explain myonuclei for me. And she will explain it about the beans. And if you can do that with your social media, then you win the game. Because you are taking very complex subjects. And unfortunately, a lot of fitness professionals, they want to show off how smart they are. But that's only to show off to their peers. And unfortunately, their peers aren't the ones that are paying for their mortgage. Mm-hmm. It's the clients, and it's simplifying things down. And that very much comes through simplifying social media.
No, that's really, really interesting. Thank you.
What's your next question? Ben?
Next question leads on to that actually quite nicely. So, okay, so you've nailed infotainment. You are creating a visual story behind what it is that you're trying to indirectly teach people. How do you then turn that into email signups, getting onto courses, getting onto memberships?
It's understanding that some of us say all the time is, when people believe in what you say, people believe in what you sell. So you've got to incentivize people. And most of the time on social media, incentivizing people is by just planting a seed of what they're currently thinking and feeling and what they're going to potentially think and feel after they make a decision on what it is that you want them to make. So say, for example, if I turn around and say, Ben, sign up to my email list. You'll think, well, I get lots of emails. I can't be fucked with that. But if I say, Ben, if you sign up to my email list, every single week I give away £300. You've now been incentivized to make a decision to sign up to that list and, you know, replace that £300 with some other desire that people want. At the end of the day, if I've written a great post about a great example, so I'll pitch this to you now. I've just given you a post about how to find the 30 best hashtags to blow up your social media. It's a nice carousel, 7 slides, great value, one which you save. And then the last slide is, if you would like an entire sheet of the ultimate hashtags for your business, just give us your email and I'll send it to you. Now, I've given you massive amounts of value and I'm about to give you even more. And all I ask for is your email address. So we'll take that knowledge of knowing of a pain point that lots of people have, wanting to get more of their content out there, not really understanding hashtags. And you kind of flip turn that on. What are the biggest problems that your clients and customers face? Mm. A lot of it is lack of time. A lot of it is confidence. A lot of it is not knowing what to do. A lot of it is hating home workouts. A lot of it is overwhelm, anxiety. So if we really determine what our audience wants, and that can be easy. If we're consistently posting social media, if we go into insights, we can look at the things that most people are saving. And those things that most people are saving are probably the most desirable things that people want. And really focusing on what can I create out of those heavily saved posts that people would want to give me their email address to find out more. Right. And that will usually be, you know, a home workout guide. That might be a mindset check sheet. It might be a quiz to help them figure out some of the things that they're struggling with. It might be a number of things which you've already kind of pre-selected that your audience wants. And then you just increase that desire to go, I need that. I need to get my email address to that person to get it. And with that, I think one of the things that a lot of people don't understand when it comes to marketing is that's just the beginning of the journey. Unfortunately, people think that that is the thought process. How do I get people on my email list? That isn't the thought process. Thought process is about 2 or 3 weeks into the future of that. Because the question you ask yourself is, what do I want those people on the email list to do? What's the outcome of that? Why are they jumping on my list? What do I want them to do? And that's the real question that you start with. It's what have I got to offer those and then work backwards. Bit of a long-winded answer, but I think it's getting people into a mindset of really understanding that a lot of people look at lead generation as, just give people a recipe book. And I see so many fucking recipe books. And I'm like, have you ever posted a recipe on your Instagram in the last 3 weeks? No. So why the fuck do you think people want a recipe book? If you are doing recipes every day, then that's probably a good thing. But if you've never even, if you burn toast, then it's probably not the best thing for you to do. And it's understanding that's why a lot of people struggle with leads, because they're trying to sell meat to vegans. You know, they're like, oh, find your best slice of meat ebook. And they're like, why isn't anyone signing up to it? It's like, it's all vegans. That's why. Because you haven't really understood what your audience wants.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And I think that's part of the ongoing challenge that is social media, isn't it? You've got to sort of bridge the gap of being relatable, being authentic and all that sort of thing. And, you know, telling a fun story and then getting the right balance, isn't it, of trying to get people to sign up or sell stuff or DM you or whatever it is that you want. But
And I think it's so important to understand that people think that you need to be all like, you know, really like a marketing king. And it's just like, no, you just got to really understand what people struggle with. Because every single person, every like, every share, every save, it's just another human being. And you're just at a higher chapter of a certain knowledge than them. And that's all that you're sharing. And everybody likes different people on different chapters of different things that they do. And obviously this is also why you shouldn't follow so many other fitness professionals.
Yeah.
Because you know, it's very good to follow certain ones. Of course, we get knowledge and information from, but if you're just following personal trainers, then you're just going to get completely confused as to what to post and what to put out there, because you're just looking at what everybody else is doing. And unfortunately, everybody is posting the wrong things. I would say 80 to 90% of people, once again, it comes back to posting things for, look how smart I am, look how intelligent I am, sign up to my services, rather than, I understand exactly where you're coming from and what you're struggling with. This is how I can help.
No, that makes sense. That's a good way of putting it, to be fair. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Ben, thank you for coming on the Fit Pro Show today.
Nice one. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Okay. And next up, we have Kieran. Kieran, how are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm really good. Thank you. How are you?
I am very well, thanks, mate. Got that Friday feeling, as I already said. Kieran, if you just want to take a bit of time to let us know who you are, where you're from, and most importantly, who you serve in your business.
Yeah, lovely. Yes, my name is Kieran. I live in Bristol. I am currently furloughed as a general manager from a restaurant and bar. I've just taken on my first five clients for online training. I've been qualified as PT for 5 years. I've kind of always been the go-to guy for all of my friends. They've always asked me for advice. I've always helped people. So now I've taken the plunge to actually start charging people with the scope that hopefully when we reopen, I won't have to go back to my job working in hospitality. And who I want to serve are busy men working in hospitality or who work shift patterns. So for instance, in the services, because I can completely relate to how stressful and chaotic that lifestyle can be.
Absolutely love it, Kieran. And knowing exactly that market, firstly, it's a massive market. And to come from that environment is so powerful because you understand exactly what those people are thinking and feeling, which is fantastic. What's your first question, Kieran?
Yeah, so my first question is, it might relate to Tom a little bit as well with regards to the online coaching. So, you know, when you're first starting out, you know, it seems that there is actually a million and one things to do. And obviously for myself, moving into this sort of sector, so to speak, I'm looking now at, you know, do I have to build a MailChimp list? Like, how am I building my funnels? What's my sales process? You know, fundamentally, the results are what's important. And, you know, helping that person achieve their goal is the fundamental building block of the business. You know, there's so many other things which you need to factor in as well if you want it to be a successful business. How do you prioritize the work around the work, so to speak?
I think it's understanding the fundamentals and understanding that people are in very different places. And here's what I mean by this. Like, you're currently furloughed. I assume that you're getting a furlough pay. Am I right? Okay, yeah. So you're in a situation where you can take a little bit more risk and you can play a slightly longer game because you're not immediately relying on the income to start generating in next month. So the game that you play is obviously a little bit more, not as long as somebody who is transitioning out from one job to another, if that makes sense. As in, a lot of trainers that I speak to, they have a 9-to-5 job and they want to be a PT. They've got a few clients and they just want to wait until it's good enough to then make the switch over. And that's we can delve really deep on that because some people need to burn their boats and some people just need to wait till it's at a stable place. That's very much kind of a position where you're in now where you're getting a wage. So the stress of having to quickly change isn't there. So it's, you see what I mean by different people, it's for different, because I have people say, look, yeah, I'm a PT. This is my only job. I need money now. So my answer was, right, we need to get you money straight away. So we need to focus on some specific goals, which we need to get specific outcomes from. And these might not be long game things. It's like someone coming to me and going, look, Jay, I've got a professional boxing fight in 3 weeks' time and I need to lose 15 pounds. My advice to them is going to be very different to, I'm unhappy with my weight and I want to lose weight in 8 weeks. So the fundamental process is different. because I could get you to go out and make a few, you know, few hundred pound today with some things, but that's not going to be long term. So I know it's a kind of a long context, so I hopefully that makes sense. So the fundamentals that you need to be able to do is, firstly, have somewhere that someone can kind of book in and chat to you. That could be Calendly and Zoom, so that would be a great thing. The ability to grab an email address and do some form of email marketing, and the ability to sell your products. So there are as many different platforms and apps and things that you can use, but they're kind of the four ones that I would have. Because a lot of people say, do I need a website? And it's like, well, Instagram and Facebook are pretty much a website now. The only way that you're going to get people off your social media and onto something is they're going to sign up to something, or they want to find out more about the thing that you're trying to sell them. That's it. So many people I know have an About Me page, and it's like, well, isn't that your Instagram? You know, you're kind of posting every day about you, that, or at least you should be. Yeah. And that's how it's very much devolved. So for yourself, you're playing a slightly longer game. So my focus for you would be, start building up your email list by having something of value in order to exchange for that email address. Start thinking about the kind of clients which you already know that you want to work with, and start thinking about the products and service that you can offer those kind of people. And the three that I get people to focus on is a digital product, something that they can download and purchase and do in their own time, which might be beneficial to shift workers and other people in which you're targeting. A monthly membership, of course, something that people pay on a recurring revenue basis. Fantastic, because, you know, especially with shift workers and that, you're going to need to work with them a little bit more long term so they can build up the habits and routines, because not only are you creating new habits, you're getting rid of bad habits, especially with shift work, people lacking energy, changing from nights to days. You know, these all take a probably longer than a program might take. It might take 6 months to 8 months, in which case, you know, getting people a membership would be good. And then obviously working with people one-to-one as well. And of course, they're going to be down at different pricing points. So they're the kind of programs and things that I would be focusing on, and Zoom, Calendly, an email grabber and a sales page and ability to take money would be the other things I'd focus on. A long-winded response, but I wanted to make sure that you're fully aware of everything that's available to you. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about online, is the fact that you have so many resources, but you don't need everything. You just need to pick one or two things, one or two platforms, and one or two services, and then just go all in on those. Get them out there. Do the best that you can with what you have, and then tweak and change and improve as you go along. And if you're not embarrassed by the thing that you launched, you know, if you get a year ahead from where we are now, and you're not embarrassed by the thing you launched next week, then you launched too late.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, no, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Do you have another question, Kieran?
Yeah, so the second question is kind of thinking forwards with scaling, really, and to do with mindset. So, you know, the more lives you're affecting, the more people that you're helping, how do you keep your mindset in check that, A, that you are helping such a wide audience, you know, for yourself, you know, it could be hundreds of thousands of people. And what for those select people who necessarily don't get the results, how do you handle the mindset of not taking it personally if you've actually invested everything correctly into them?
It takes time, firstly. And when you start off, you want to impact every single person that you work with. And that's quite easy to do because you're only working with a handful of people. But as you start to work with more people, you need to change the systems in which you're using, and the game gets a little bit more complex to play, because in order for you to grow, you need to trust other people within your business. And some people never trust anyone to do everything themselves, and then they get burnt out. And this is another thing which I call, it's actually from a book called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, called The Success Paradox. What the success paradox is you become very good at working with a handful of clients, and you're so good that they recommend your services. So your handful of clients turns into 30 or 40 people. Now you're delivering stuff which you used to deliver for 5 to 10 people for 40 people. You're exhausted, you're making mistakes, you're fucking things up. And actually the thing that you're known for is no longer the thing that you're known for. And that's where you start to crumble. Yeah. So you have to then start to think differently, because what got you where you are today won't get you where you want to be tomorrow. And then that comes to trusting that other people will need to make the mistakes that you made to get as good as you did. Not taking it personally in the fact that, look, you're going to have people unhappy. You're going to have people on social media fucking hate you for no apparent reason. But this is just very natural for any kind of successful growth, because unfortunately people don't like seeing others do well. And the one of the main reasons for that is it's a reflection on their own lack of success, because they believe that success is scarce. There's a little pot, and as soon as you take from it, that somebody else doesn't get that success, not knowing that success is a flowing river and it's open to everybody to have. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it really does. It's about, you know, how many people you can actually help long term. But it's, you know, I really appreciate that, is actually having to not take it too personally for every single person too personally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, no. And also it's just understanding that there is nothing worse than somebody who has spent money on something and not seen the result. And one thing that I say to my clients all the time is, look, I can give you the tools, but you're the one who has to dig down and get it. And in my 10 years of doing this, I've never had someone turn around to me and say, Jamie, I followed the plan to the letter and got no results. Yeah. So if I understand that, I know that I've done my job. And if you haven't got the results, it's probably not my fault, but yeah. I empathize with how difficult it is for you to stick to.
Yeah.
So if someone is really angry with me, you can look at it two ways. Okay. You can look at it. I have this really warped, squaddy sense of humor. And my warped, squaddy sense of humor goes, well, you haven't got results and I got paid, so fuck you. And then I can laugh and then empathize. Okay. So it's just my head where that's the ego thing in my head, which means that I don't get pissed off at that person. And then it's like, you know, apologies. I'm sorry. If there's anything that I can do to help move forward with this, just let me know. And usually just approaching that anger with kindness calms that person down. Because they're
the skill of coaching.
They're looking for a fight. Because they want, you know, if someone calls me a wanker and I act like a wanker, I've just confirmed to them that I am a wanker. But if you call me a wanker and I act with kindness and humility and empathy, suddenly who's the person who feels the wanker? It's the other person. And the only way that you can truly do that is by being confident in yourself. And once again, that comes with time as a coach. As you start out, you're constantly questioning yourself. You're constantly having this kind of imposter syndrome of what the fuck am I doing? And every single person has that, but you just got to get over that and understand that that's perfectly natural when it comes to scaling and growing. And you are going to take lots of things personally. You're going to always remember that first person who wanted a refund. You're always going to remember that first person who didn't get the results on your program. But as you do start to grow, you're going to find that there's going to be a lot more of them because you're serving a lot more people.
Yeah. Thank you. Cool.
Kieran, thank you for coming on the Fit Pro Show today.
Yes.
Cool. And last, but by no means certainly least, Killian, how are you?
I'm actually buzzing. You know, I spent the whole morning remapping out the business for expanding and stuff like that. And I'm going to go for a surf after this. So yeah, really buzzing. How about yourself?
Good. You said go for a surf.
Yeah, I do a bit of surfing in my spare time.
Oh, mate. Awesome. So you're used to the cold water.
Yeah, I'm actually from Ireland, so it's freezing over here.
Fucking
at the moment.
Freezing cold water, yeah. What's the temp like over there?
Right now it's like 7 degrees,
So it's pretty cold. And with the big winter wetsuits though, so it's not too bad, but your hands and feet do be frozen.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, okay, wetsuits, but if you're out there for you know, I'm only in there for 3 or 4, 5 minutes, so half an hour I'll be dead. So definite wetsuit. If you just want to take a bit of time, get into, let our listeners know who you are, where you're from, and most importantly, who you serve in your business.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, my name is Killian. I'm currently living in Ireland in a small little place called Sligo. I'm an online coach and nutritionist. And my main function, or my main aim, is to help ladies in their early 30s to regain confidence in themselves, and to feel a little more sexier in their skins, just with through helping them lose a bit of weight, you know, through effective but easy kind of nutrition and fitness strategies.
Awesome. What's your first question, Killian?
So my first question, I suppose it's to do a bit with TikTok. I kind of jumped on it there during the first lockdown over here in March, and it grew quite well. So I'm sitting in around 10,000 followers, but it's all of a sudden just died. Like there's nothing coming out of it now. And I just want to see, would you have any tips? Because I know you have a big following on TikTok. Would you have any maybe tips to kind of get that back up and flowing again?
It's funny how you say that, because I actually had a friend of mine, Paul Alima, he's built up 330,000, I think, on there. And he actually messaged me the same thing a couple of days ago. He goes, Jay, what's going on with TikTok? Everything's falling flat. I said, it's just the name of the game, to be honest. I mean, the way that I kind of look at it with TikTok is that they want to promote the people who are consistent on there. And it's a kind of an algorithm test to say, I don't know if this is true, but it's like, right, I'm gonna make it hard for you for a month and see what you do. And, right. And the way that I kind of look at it is go, look, consistency trumps all. When you get a period of any kind of social media where you have a week or two that falls flat with anything, and I get this all the time with TikTok, quite a few times with TikTok, Instagram, quite a lot with Instagram. And I think, fuck, why isn't this working? And then usually I go into my insights and I look at my 10 most viewed videos, pieces of content, and realize that actually the things that I'm putting out there now are not the things that were actually making my account successful. I'm putting stuff out there, but it's not the stuff that gets it. And TikTok's a very easy formula to understand. You need to capture somebody's attention in the first 3 seconds. Simple as. If you are a female, that tends to be showing a bit of flesh. If you're a male, it's tends to be flashing a little bit of abs. Now, do we necessarily want to go down that route and just basically get followers for wanting to see parts of our flesh? And the answer is no. What we want to focus on is capturing people's attention with quality information, because so many people on TikTok at the moment still think it's kids dancing, and yet they haven't been on TikTok, not knowing that it's such a massive platform to really grow your personal training business. It really, really is. And it is an open, untapped market for personal trainers. So it's understanding a thing in marketing called the ADA model. And ADA stands for action, interest, desire, and then a call to action. Attention, interest, desire, and then action, call to action. So think about this. How do you capture somebody's attention in the first 3 seconds? Tell them exactly what they're going to get from the video. So some of my most viewed videos that are in the millions, I'm usually telling people what they're going to get straight away. Three things that you're going to know about being happy, or three things or three exercises that you can do to build your biceps. Three exercises that you could do to grow your calves. Three things you need to consider when creating a meal plan. Three things. So you see what I'm doing there? Straight away, people are going in and I'll put words on the screen. Three things, really just hit them straight away. Keep it fast paced, drop lots of quick information. So attention, three things. Interest, explain the things, the details. So the tips and that they're going to take away. And then the action. If you like for more, or click on my link to download, or this, that, and the other. Does that make sense? Keeping that model is going, right, okay. If you are, let's just say, for example, let's do this as a test, because what I'll get you to do is, because we're recording this, I can have it as a piece of content. And this might be an absolute failure. I hope not. But what you're going to do is we're going to come up with a piece of content for TikTok now.
Okay.
And then you're going to go and make it. Hopefully it's not shit. and then see how it gets, on. So what are the things that have been working in the past on TikTok?
So for me, I suppose, like a few videos that went really viral was kind of three exercises to build, like, say, your glutes or get a peachy bum, things like that. Because I'd often kind of refer to, say, with the girls kind of side of thing on advertisement is, you know, get a peachy bum. And that used to tend to work quite well for me. That or just putting out like an outlandish statement that, like, you know, side effects of creatine, and then proceed to say, like, there's actually no real kind of side effects or unless you have X, Y, and Z condition or something like that, you know. So, yeah, I suppose they're kind of the main ones really that have worked in the past.
How open are you to things on TikTok that you might not be comfortable with doing?
What do you mean by that now?
Well, I just had an idea of, you know, you're talking about building glutes. Get yourself in a pair of leggings, get your other half to film going up so it looks like a woman, right? Yeah. So you see your ass and that going up and you've got someone's attention. So like, what's going on here? Take the camera up and then you just say three exercises to help build your glutes. So what really you have is straight away you've got someone's attention, right? Because they're seeing these legs go up and they want to see whose amazing glutes these are. So you need some really tight leggings and hopefully got good glutes. And then suddenly the pattern disrupt is this isn't what I signed up for. I thought this was going to be, you know, some female on there and it happens to be you. And then suddenly you're just taking people for an emotional roller coaster because you've got their attention. Now you've pattern disrupted because this isn't a female that I had in my head. This is a guy. And now you put good quality information in it and then like for more.
Yeah.
In 15 seconds, you've taken me on this emotional journey that's confused the fuck out of me, has given me great information. And I want to watch again because I want to watch it again with the knowledge of what it was going to teach me. And obviously one of the biggest engagements with TikTok is how long they've watched it and whether they repeat watch again. And then of course, when they comment. So you've got three bags to make an engaging video in there. You've captured their attention. You've made them laugh. You've made them watch it again because they want to watch it again because it's great. And they're going to comment and tell them what they were going through, their emotional experience with it. If you can pull that off, I guarantee that will be a viral video.
So I'll do that. So,
and let us know, because what I'll do is I'll if it's a success, I'll mix it with this podcast episode. And then I go, see, so Jeremy knows what he's talking about. So does that make sense?
Yeah, no, 100%. Definitely something I'll do. And yeah, look, if it does go viral, I'll send it your way and you can use it for whatever thing you want.
Cool. What's your other question, Killiam?
So my next question is kind of relating into a funnel. I suppose for me, what I'm looking to do now with the lockdown in Ireland, like a lot of our essential workers, in particular nurses, you know, they're working really hard because we're on a quite a strict lockdown and there's like a lot of rates and incidents over here. And a lot of my clients naturally would be nurses anyways. So what I wanted to put together was potentially a 28-day challenge for free that nurses or essential workers could hop onto with the aim of, you know, improving their mindset a small bit and losing a bit of weight in the process. And after the 28 days, trying to upsell then into my main online package. So I suppose, like, I've never really done a funnel before. So I was just maybe looking to see, you know, where would you start off with a funnel, or what would you do in that instance to get it out there to as many people as possible?
So one of the things about a 28 day is that you probably want people to start at the same time, in which case strategically planning it out. You've got to look at ways of this, like a 28-day challenge. Only 28-day challenge works best when everybody's doing starting and finishing at the same time.
Yeah.
So one problem that you have with that is that you need to get enough traction to get enough people to start, because the last thing you want is to do a 28-day challenge and only like four or five people start. And then you're halfway through and then other people can't start because it's already started. Mm-hmm. So rather than doing a 28-day challenge, you could create a 28-day program, which is free, which people just need to give your email address for them to complete, and have it as kind of an evergreen so people can start whenever they like, where you do it through email automation. And then you have a community group of people starting and finishing the program and going through it and supporting each other. That way you've got a lot of power of people going through the program, supporting each other, building that community, And then once that program and you come out the other side of it, then turning that into a monthly membership or a bigger challenge when they're out of it. So you're kind of planting the seed and watering it for a few months and waiting for it to grow into a flower. And that's the best way to do it. And that's the way that I would kind of do it. Think about the long game of launching this program or membership with the view of going, right, I'm happy to do this from March till August and not get anything from it apart from changing the lives of these people.
Okay.
And I'm happy to invest that time. And that might not be the best solution for you because you need the money for doing that.
Hmm.
But if you don't understand that, look, that's going to play a long game. And a great example of this is what Mr. Joe Wicks does.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't think he's sitting down with his marketing team going, right, guys, I'm going to do this PE with Joe. It's going to make me a fucking fortune. Yeah. He's just doing it by going, these kids need my help. Yeah, I need to step up and I've got a duty here, which inevitably that mindset is genius because he becomes a household name. He has a 90-day program, which is for mums and dads. And they typically will be the mums and dads of the hundreds of thousands of kids that do his free YouTube channel.
Yeah.
So it's genius. It's brilliant. And I'm sure he had that thought process for it, but he wasn't sitting down with the marketing team going, I'll do this. So I think if you can get into the mindset of wanting to do this, and it is for the right reasons of wanting to help these people out and not expecting anything back, you'll get a lot back because that program will be awesome and it will be with the right intentions and the right message and will build up the right influence with what it is that you're doing.
Okay.
And then think about also, if this is a local thing, your outreach needs to be with the local newspapers and news about what it is that you're doing to get it out there and spread a lot more.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Cool. Killian, thank you ever so much for coming on the Fit Pro Show today.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gents, another awesome episode of the Fit Pro Show. Hope you enjoyed that and I'll be back again next week. Adios, amigos.